Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. And I am thankful for the way that He has been reviving us. I certainly believe that the hand of the Lord has been ministering in our services in the past few weeks. And all across the house, I see those who are victorious. Many times we can be consumed with negative things. We can be overwhelmed. When Brother Bill was speaking, I got a text message that said too many big words. So basically, I'll be the opposite of Brother Bill tonight. We can get drowned. We can get overwhelmed. We can be encamped with trouble and with fear and with all of these things that come against us. But I am thankful tonight that the Word of God is still true, Brother Leitner. We will eventually win this thing. We will be overcomers. I love that Brother Combs stood and testified. Pray that I would be an overcomer. And praise the Lord, one of these days we are all going to be able to say that. By the grace of God, we have overcome. By the blood of the Lamb and by what? The word of our testimony. And so tonight, as we look around the sanctuary, we can see that there are those in here tonight. You could stand up and shout, Brother Rose, I am an overcomer. Amen. You could stand and shout tonight that you're making it. We're not just crawling all the way to heaven. I believe some of us tonight have been running. Amen. And we're going to sprint all the way till we get there. Sister Martha, I feel revival coming to the church, not just in one area of ages, but all across the house. I believe God is getting a people ready for a miraculous return to His church. Hallelujah. And so tonight, I just want to say thank the Lord for the way that He is moving amongst us. Church, if we only knew the countless places across this nation that would so love to be in a setting like this tonight. Oh, they're so dry. There's some places in this nation that are so dry spiritually just for a fresh moving of the Holy Ghost, and yet it seems so evident every service that we're here. Oh, let's never lose that hunger for more of Him. Let's never lose that desire for a fresh touch. Let's never get comfortable with the presence of God moving, because as soon as we do, He may stop. But the opposite of that is true. The more we hunger and the more we desire, the more He's going to move. Hallelujah. We serve a faithful God, church. Let's turn in our Bibles tonight to the book of Luke, chapter number 2. Verse number 8 is where we're going to begin tonight. Now, I had this sermon on my heart for the past several weeks and was scheduled to preach last Sunday night, but thankful for the Holy Ghost and His taking over. And I believe that we're always ready whenever the Lord wants to take over. Amen. He knows what He's doing. And so I'm thankful for the way He moved last Sunday evening. Tonight, this message is still in my heart. And so we're gonna preach out of the Christmas story. If you wouldn't mind to stand for the reading of the Word. I want to preach tonight off of a different perspective of this one thought. There are times in our lives when we hear this. Something can happen. An event can happen. And folks will say, well, that's the beginning of the end. Meaning, pretty soon, whatever is attached to that is going to die. It's going to be over. It's going to be finished. You've seen companies and businesses that maybe has an accident happen, and all of a sudden you think, well, that's the beginning of that. It's ending. You know, there's been fellowships that have been broken or marriages that have been in trouble. And you can say, well, that was the beginning of the end right there. It's always got a negative connotation to it. It's always got a negative aspect to it. But I want to preach tonight that I believe the Christmas season really is the beginning of the end in a few areas. But let's hold off till we read our text tonight. The book of Luke, chapter number 2, verse 8 says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord showed round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest." We were just singing that. Let's magnify the Lord. Hallelujah. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. I love that last part of that scripture, Sister Maggard. The Lord hath made known unto us. God is revealing right now that His Son is on the scene, and it's about to be the beginning of the end for some things. Verse 10, the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you just lift up your hands tonight? Let's praise the Lord one more time. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. You know everyone that's in this building tonight under the sound of my voice. You know everyone that is listening over the internet, God. You know everyone that will hear this message via CD or other format, God. And I pray tonight that your word would go forth and not return void. God, that you would minister in a capacity that I could never do on my own. I thank you for the truth of your word. It is a fresh and wonderful joy tonight to be in your presence, to fellowship with you, and to be amongst your people. And the church said, Amen. Amen. The book of Genesis, chapter number 3, verse 8 and 9 said, And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said, Where art thou? And Adam said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And God said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I am commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? The woman said, Well, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Our pastor preached upon this text last Sunday morning and did just a terrific job. I'm thankful that the promise of the Lord, no matter how many years ago it was, it still applies for you and I. Brother John, the Lord knew tonight that we would be in this service. The Lord knew, however many years ago that this happened, He knew tonight who would be listening to this sermon under the sound of my voice. He knew tonight who would be in a relationship with Him and who would not yet have been there. Sister Norma, God knew before Jesus ever went to the cross, before the Christmas story ever happened, God knew that because of the sin of man, because of the workings of Satan, and because of the separation that would come about as a result of man's decision, there would have to come a day for recompense. There would have to come a day for renewal. There would have to come a day where that relationship was brought back together. God knew. So many years before Christ ever was announced by a company of angels singing the praises of God. So many years before those shepherds heard the glorious message that unto you a Savior was born. God knew He was going to have a plan. Tonight I want to preach on that Christ coming was the beginning of the end in three areas of our lives. It was the beginning of the end of sin. It was the beginning of the end of separation. And it was the beginning of the end of Satan. Tonight, as we begin this sermon, we focus on the fact that Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Since Adam and Eve fell, sin has affected and corrupted and dwelt in every man, woman, boy, and girl since that time. It is the violation of God's laws. Sin is a violation of God's laws that is inherited into our nature. When you and I were born, we were born already corrupted. No one has to tell a child that they don't need to be selfish. It's inherent in them to have what they want to have and to cry and to scream. No one has to tell somebody not to lie. Nobody has to tell somebody not to steal. It's inherent in them that they want to. I guess I just said that all wrong. I just now realized nobody has to tell them to do it. We got to tell them to not do it. If you're listening tonight, I don't believe in lying and stealing. If you're listening on the internet, and if you were here at this church, you'd know that. I'm going to pick up on my fourth point here. Our nature is already born into a violation of God's laws. From the very beginning of time that we were born, already there was a divide between us and God. But God, in His wonderful mercy, just think about tonight the fact that God made the way possible for mankind to never have to work a day in his life. He made the way possible that we could have perfect harmony and fellowship with Him. He made the way possible that there would never be a day where He would hurt. He could live in wonderful harmony and peace with God. God walked with Adam every day. We talk about having a relationship. Adam had the relationship with God. And yet Adam sinned. And it destroyed everything. How can we escape if we have that same nature? I've been teaching in our youth group class about that Adamic nature and how it's passed to every one of us. I sin because I did not know God, but I sin because my nature is already opposed to God. I did not hear the voice of God when I was born and told me that you're a sinner. It was already in there. There is something inside each and every one of us that there is a vacuum, a hole that is missing God's presence. We were created by God. The psalmist said that thou hast created me and I am fearfully and wonderfully made. This creation of God was beautiful, wasn't it? And yet sin has corrupted and stripped away that beauty and that harmony and that peace that God had. Because sin is a penalty. Or sin is a violation of God's law, it will have a penalty with it that has to be paid. Jesus' birth was the beginning of what would eventually be the end of that penalty. You see, Jesus was born of a virgin. The significance of this miracle is in the reality of Christ's sinlessness. Pastor preached this morning, and I really was hoping that I wasn't going to be following his December sermons because he got every one of these things already covered, but we're going to review since some of us weren't here, all right? Christ's sinlessness is the true miracle of the season. You see, his father was not of Adam. His father was God. And so because of that, we now have access. You see, that nature that passed to you and I, that nature that was so already opposed to God, cannot be found in Christ. That sinlessness is not there. And so when Christ was born, it signified the end of what would be the demise of the penalty of sin. You see, up until this time, man's sin had never been forgiven. There had been sacrifices, Brother Brad, but that never washed away or pardoned that sinner. All it did was set it aside for another year. It never washed it away. The book of Hebrews describes the fact that Jesus came and he was the ultimate sacrifice. And forever, in one time, he perfected forever those that come to him. Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice for sin. And because of that, his birth was the beginning of the end for the penalty of sin. He was pure, perfect, and undefiled. Even to this day, you and I have the opportunity to receive salvation because of the sinlessness of Jesus Christ. The miracle of Jesus' birth resulted without an earthly father. Thus, his nature was passed to him from his heavenly father. Sin had no dominion over him. And when Jesus died upon the cross, He accepted the sin of all mankind upon him. When Jesus rose again, he defeated the penalty of sin, which is death. Jesus' birth was the beginning of the end of sin. Hallelujah. Jesus' birth was the beginning of the end of our separation from God. Verse 8 says, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God. Even tonight, there are folks that still tried to hide from the walking Savior. The Bible said that the enemy walks to and fro seeking whom he may devour. I believe that. But we also know that the Lord is looking for those tonight who would come to him. We know that even in this service, God is, his presence has moved across the sanctuary. And if you know God, you have felt his closeness. Some of you tonight, you've been encouraged because the Master walked up right beside you and lifted you up from where you were at. Some of us tonight who were sick in body, you felt that strength from the Lord minister to you. Why? Because we're not separated from him anymore. We have felt him lift us up and minister. But if you don't know Jesus tonight as your Savior, there is something in the carnal man, that nature that does not want to please God, that will continually try to hide from him, because the carnal man knows that when God enters into the heart, he has to be diminished. Tonight, if you don't know God, you are separated from your Creator. Adam and Eve tried to hide themselves. I've been in services before where you could see people literally trying to slide under the pew because conviction was so strong. Why? Because when God enters, he calls to his creation. The Lord God called unto Adam and said, where art thou? He knew right where Adam was. But even tonight, he calls to those whom he knows are trying to hide, or maybe you just haven't yet come. And he says, where are you? He knows right where you're at tonight. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. He understood that his sin had separated him, and he decided to hide himself from God. God's relationship with humanity was broken. We were created to worship, to be in fellowship with God. One of the most joyous occasions, in my opinion, is to wake up on a spring morning, Sister Judy, when new life is coming about, and when the birds have returned, and you hear those robins singing outside your window. Sometimes that can be annoying, but I tell you, Sister Norvell, that's a beautiful song to hear. That's the creation calling out to its Savior. Listen, church, we have a calling on our lives to be worshipers. And secondly, one of the most beautiful things that I've ever heard is the song of the redeemed calling out to his Creator and saying, God, you're worthy. I love to be in God's house and be around God's people, because it is something about the spiritual man that calls out to his Creator. We were made to worship. We were designed to be worshipers. And that was the call of God upon all humanity. When sin entered, it destroyed that true relationship, and there had to come about a bringing together, a bridge of that separation of humanity and God. They heard the voice of the Lord and they hid themselves. Sin always causes division between us and God. His nature is holy, and sin cannot enter into his presence. It always tries to hide from the presence of God. But I love the message the angel said, fear not. Tonight, we don't have to be afraid of Jesus. We don't have to fear that something bad is going to come about because of this God. He is a merciful Savior. He is a loving God. And although he will fulfill judgment because of his holiness, he gives every one of us the opportunity to never have to face that judgment, to have a relationship with an almighty God. The search for truth ought to end with Christ. He is the answer to all things. He is the bridge between mankind and God. He will fulfill that separation. The angel said, fear not. It would be a Savior that was born this day. Oh, thank God that he's a Savior. A Savior that would be crucified. A lamb unspotted and unblemished. A perfect sacrifice, and the only sacrifice suitable for the renewal of mankind's relationship with God. Jesus is that Savior. His birth, his death, his burial, and resurrection brought about the rending of the veil in that temple. And that veil had represented the blocking between you and God and between myself and God. But when that veil was torn,
We now have access to God. Ephesians 2, verse 12 through 19 says that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath both made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And Jesus came and preached to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore we are no more strangers and foreigners, but we are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. You see, tonight I don't know of anyone in this room that is of Jewish descent. I don't know of anyone that is of pure Israeli blood. Every one of us were Gentiles. And we were denied access to God. And yet when Jesus came, that separation that forever had up to that point been something that only the Jewish man could go into, we now have access by the blood of the Lamb. We are able to know God tonight. And that separation has been abolished. Jesus' birth was the beginning of the end of mankind's separation from God. Thirdly tonight, Jesus' birth was the beginning of the end of Satan, our foe. Oh, he's such an evil enemy. Tonight, some of you are continually in a battle by his minions. You face things daily. But I want you to know that Satan will have an end. He's not going to win. The Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, cursed above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. God laid the foundation for the enemy, for Satan, to be destroyed. Now tonight, if we're in the midst of the battle, it's not time to praise the fact that we're fighting the enemy. It's time to praise the Lord that he's fighting the enemy with us. Satan will have a day of judgment, Brother Norvell. Christ's birth and Christmas brings about the fulfillment of the promise of the Word of God, that one day the son of a woman would come about the destruction of Satan's head. And although that Jesus was bruised by Satan upon the cross, it was the cross that destroyed the works of the enemy. It was the cross that brought about the destruction and the plan of Satan. You see, the enemy wants all individuals to go to hell. There's not one person that is a friend of the enemy. There's no person that is a friend of the darkness that is not under some blindness by the enemy. He hates everyone, because he hates God. God's plan is that all should come to repentance. God's plan is that all would have the ability to know that your sin can be forgiven, that separation can be abolished. God's plan is that you and I can have a full relationship with him, and the enemy hates that. Now tonight, if you are not a child of the God, of the King of Jesus Christ, the enemy has got you blinded from the truth that Jesus would set you free. Jesus will give you life. Jesus will bring about a fulfillment in your heart that is joyful and that is peace and that is an abundant mercy. Jesus will fulfill what the enemy would love to destroy. Satan's attempt to destroy God's creation and ruin God's plan of fellowship and relationship with humanity worked for a second, but God had another plan. Hallelujah. Christ's birth fulfilled God's promise to destroy the works of the enemy. Romans 16 and 20 said, "The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." Tonight, I want to close with this. The angels announced joyously, for unto you is born this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Do you suppose that they really understood what they were singing? The Bible says in the book of Revelation that the saints who have made it will sing a new song, and the angels will not be able to sing along with them. They sang joyously because their master told them, "This is the message. Go sing." But those shepherds who first heard that report contemplated in themselves, and they said, "Let us now go and see this thing which the Lord hath told us." Tonight I'm telling you that although the angels rejoiced that night, they could never have known what the blood of Jesus would do for humanity. Although the angels rejoiced that night, they could have never known what it felt like to have been a sinner who had violated God's law. But because of the blood of Jesus, we are made new. We are washed clean. They could have never understood what it would feel like for a 12-year-old boy to be at a youth camp so completely messed up inside. And yet when you hear the sound and the voice of a Savior calling out that reconciliation was made, "I will sing a new song, because my God brought about the beginning of the end of the works of Satan. He brought about the beginning of the end of sin and the separation that my heart had from God. The Savior was born not only to myself, but unto everyone in this room and everyone in this world. God knew that we needed a Savior. And this Christmas season, we are celebrating the birth of our King. He brought about the beginning of the end for every evil thing that opposed Him. But He brought about the beginning of the end of our home going too. He's brought about the beginning of the end of our heavenly mansion. He's brought about the beginning of the end of our promise that we are going to see Him one of these days. The beginning of the end is not always negative tonight, church. God's got a promise that He's fulfilling even now. And if somebody is here tonight and you are not in relationship with God, I want to tell you with the best vocabulary I can try and describe, it is the greatest thing to know that your sins have been washed away, that you have been pardoned, that your guilt and shame no longer is yours alone to bear, but we have been able to place it upon the Christ child who reigns forever. We can know tonight that God loves us and that He wants to have relationship with us. Amen. Let's stand all across the house. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah. It's even interesting to know that in Christ's fulfillment, in His birth, the enemy still tried to get rid of Him. Herod killed all the babies two and under. Folks hated Him who were supposed to be religious. The enemy tried and tried to get rid of Christ, and he couldn't. And tonight, he still can. If you are bound tonight by sin, if you have violated God's laws, and I'm going to tell you, you're in good company tonight, because we all have. You can join, though, this company and say, "He forgave me. He changed me. He washed me." The Bible says a list of people that can never enter into heaven because of their sins. And then the Apostle Paul wrote, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We don't have to signal the end for our lives to hell. We can know that God has pardoned us tonight. If you're not a believer, I just want to invite you to come. I want to invite you right now, if you're not a believer, if you're not following after Christ, the answer to the questions of this life can be found in Jesus Christ. He is the answer to everything our heart desires. And if you need Him tonight, why don't you just come? We'll pray with you tonight. Is there anybody in the house? You say, "Brother Brian, I need to be saved. I need to be pardoned." Is there anyone? Church, let's pray all across the house. Heavenly Father, I love You. You sent Your Son, Jesus, to die for me. I needed Him so much, and yet He pardoned me. and he cleansed me. I pray tonight, if there's somebody here, Lord, that doesn't know you, your spirit would draw them right now in the name of Jesus. If you're not saved tonight, I want you to come join us at these steps. We use these as an altar. If you're not a believer tonight, I want you to come right now. Get out of your pew. Why don't you come and pray? Come and pray. Give your heart to the Lord. It'll be the greatest decision you ever had. It'll be the greatest thing you've ever done, because Christ will take that load of sin off of your shoulders and give you a new song. Are you here tonight? You need to be saved. Would you come? Music, would you come and play? Church, let's come find a place to pray tonight. If you're not a believer and you want to be saved, come pray with the rest of these church members. Oh, hallelujah. The Lord is a gracious King. Oh, hallelujah. His birth signified the beginning of the end. Oh, we can know Him tonight. We can know Him tonight. God does not concern Himself with where we've come from or who we are, where we've been or what we've done. He will pardon whosoever comes to Him. The Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here tonight and don't know Jesus, you can know Him.
I was in prison.